This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. It is the 27th of October, 2025. Good morning, I'm Andy Eubank. The HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. C.J. Miller and Greg Allen here today, too, with the news, including gains overseas for U.S. pork and a look at this week's FFA National Convention coming back to Indianapolis. The Indiana Farm Forecast with HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin includes continued dry conditions with slight rain chances in the south later today. And the Friday corn, bean, and wheat markets all worked a little lower. We have market analysis with Brian Basting on the HAT Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender.
There's something to be said about being early. You get a better place in line, maybe a better seat at the table, and sometimes being early will save you money. Like when you order seed early from Seed Genetics Direct. Place your order for the next growing season with Seed Genetics Direct by November 10th, and you'll save $10 per unit on corn and $2 per unit on soybeans. It's time to leave the nest, early birds, and visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to order. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
Big gains overseas for the pork industry and excitement builds for the FFA convention. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Greg Allen. The U.S. pork industry continues to make big gains overseas, with South Korea emerging as one of its top destinations. South Korea is ranked the fifth largest market for U.S. pork so far this year, a strong sign of growing consumer demand that shows no signs of slowing down. Andy Tower, Vice President of International Market Development with the National Pork Board, says South Korean consumers have embraced American pork products, and that appetite could soon move the country even higher on the global demand scale.
Very, very strong market. Been a good market for the U.S. pork producers for a while, and it's one that we continue to invest in and defend so we can continue to maintain that strong demand pull.
That demand has been supported through a long-standing partnership with the U.S. Meat Export Federation, which helps promote American pork around the world. According to the USMEF, U.S. pork exports reached a record 3.03 million metric tons in 2024, valued at $8.63 billion, a milestone that highlights how international markets are driving the industry's success. Tower says with strong consumer demand for convenient home meal replacements, U.S. pork is well positioned to fill that growing niche in the market.
Because about 40% of Koreans live in single-family households, and they dine and eat alone. And so this is a growing trend. And really, I see this as an opportunity to take some of the learnings out of the international market and bring back stateside. Because even in the U.S., I mean, we're continuing to look for convenience opportunities. And most of these meals are able to be prepared in less than 20 minutes.
With global demand rising and South Korea leading the charge, the U.S. pork industry looks poised for another strong year ahead. As the 98th National FFA Convention and Expo kicks off on Wednesday in Indianapolis, we're shining the spotlight on one ag business and their longtime support of Indiana FFA. C.J. Miller has the story.
When Indiana FFA announced they were looking to build a new cabin at the Indiana FFA Leadership Center that's compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act, Farm Credit Mid-America stepped up to make a significant donation.
We don't see that just as a donation. It's a long-term investment in the future of agriculture.
That's Jason Wilson, Regional Vice President of Agricultural Lending with Farm Credit Mid-America. He also serves on the Board of Directors for the Indiana FFA Foundation.
It's important that when we're looking at securing the future of rural communities in agriculture that we stay focused on programs like FFA that provide the service, training, development for those that are going to be the future of agriculture, and we continue to invest in FFA, and we just couldn't be more proud of the partnership partnership that we've had with Indiana FFA.
You know, the Cabin Project is a symbol of progress and inclusivity within the agriculture community. It does not just represent a new building, but a commitment to ensuring every aspiring agriculture leader has the opportunity to thrive.
And that's Lisa Shadon, Executive Director of the Indiana FFA Foundation.
And I think FFA and Farm Credit, in all the things that we do, want to make sure that we have the infrastructure in place so that students and members of FFA can succeed in whatever area they choose to go into when they become adults and those citizens that serve every single day.
Farm Credit Mid-America is one of many sponsors who are helping Indiana FFA reach its fundraising goals. If you'd also like to donate and help support Indiana FFA, visit their website, infffa.org. I'm CJ Miller.
Thank you, CJ. Find these stories and more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Pushing for yield? Of course you are. But what's left behind the combine? A golden opportunity, that's what. Take advantage of the bound-up nutrition in your residue with Reclaim from Direct Enterprises. Reclaim makes valuable nutrition available to your next crop, enhances soil health, and reduces reliance on tillage. Plan ahead, get ahead with Reclaim. Learn more about Reclaim and find your local dealer online at directenterprises.com. That's directenterprises.com.
A dry start to the week here across the Hoosier State. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We're watching the remains of a significant system that was in the Central Plains and moving into the Missouri Valley. Try and track eastward through the day today. That system, I think, continues to stay mostly south in the Tennessee Valley. But through your Monday afternoon, Monday evening, I think we have to watch for some cloud cover into southern tier counties of Indiana. Maybe a few hit and miss scattered showers, Louisville area up into Jeffersonville, far south central Indiana, but I don't think it makes it any farther north. We should see a mostly sunny sky for today in all other areas of the state. Tomorrow looks to see a little bit more cloud cover. We've got a frontal boundary coming in from the west, the large-scale upper-level low trying to come together, coming out of the Great Plains and moving into the western Corn Belt. For Tuesday, I don't think we see a whole lot of activity here. Clouds increase in west central and southern parts of Indiana towards sunset. I won't even rule out a few hit-and-miss scattered showers through the evening and early overnight hours in those same regions. But the low itself tries to dig down all the way down into the Missouri boot heel overnight tomorrow night into early Wednesday morning. At this point, that looks to create a nice round of rain shower action over central and southern Indiana through Wednesday. Right now, I think a nice easy line is to say I-70 southward from sunrise Wednesday through Wednesday afternoon and into early Thursday. I won't rule out cloud cover farther north and even a few hit and miss scattered showers, but I think the bulk of the rain stays over the southern half of Indiana. What this low does do is draw down some very strong cold air advection, some cold air coming in behind it for Wednesday night, Thursday, especially over northern tier counties of Indiana. And then that cold air sits over the region right on through the end of the week and into the weekend. In the cold air, we probably see more cloud cover around. I'm not going to say we see big rain potential. Definitely not seeing anything for Thursday afternoon, Friday, and early Saturday. Saturday afternoon, maybe we see a few spits and sprinkles off the lakes up in the Great Lakes region, northern Indiana, Michigan, so on and so forth. But then we see a cold air continue right on into early next week. The cold air strengthens likely midweek, Wednesday, Thursday. I think from late weekend through midweek next week, that's when we see our best lake effect cloud cover and spit and sprinkle kind of setup. Don't worry, I'm not talking about snow at all, but I think there's going to be on again, off again rain showers from US 24 northward up into Michigan from late Sunday night right on through next Tuesday, Wednesday. Finally seeing a large upper level ridge start to build in the second half of next week. And look, as chilly as it is to start the month of November, I think we could see well above normal temperatures then as we move through the end of next week, the following weekend, and into that next week as well. Significant warming could be on the way. So it's a roller coaster ride for sure. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
This harvest, it's more than crops. It's your legacy. Beacon Credit Union offers ag loans for equipment, land, and operating costs. Competitive rates, flexible terms, and local experts who know farming. Beacon Credit Union. Local. Trusted. Rooted in agriculture. We're ag people. Serving ag people. Visit beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
A quiet Friday sell-off. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. The review is brought to you by Purdue Farm Stress Team. All alone in the cab this harvest. Listen to a new radio show or podcast to keep your mind occupied and your thoughts positive. Visit extension.purdue.edu/farmstress. Final numbers from Friday trade on the way. We'll check in, though, first with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading for his commentary. I did speak with him in the middle of the Friday session. A sell-off going into the weekend as we see a little bit of profit-taking, Brian, from the start of the trading session. So some gains through the course of the week, but it did not hold up going into the weekend. Probably not too surprising.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Andy. We did see a strong rally, as you said. We saw the highest prices in December corn and November soybean futures since the middle of September. So about a five-week high there. A nice rebound here. Some of that was probably hope, anticipation of the administration meeting with China next week. And we'll see how that shakes out if a trade deal comes about. Some of that may be linked to that. Also seeing some basis strength, Andy, as harvest winds down in many areas. A lot of this crop was sold, but a significant portion of it was put in storage, so the basis is firming up as it historically usually does. So we have seen the markets firm up here, but as you said, as the week wound down, just probably a bit of profit taking there on Friday. Again, after a five-week high, not surprising to see that. But a welcome sight from producer standpoint. We'll just have to see what shakes out moving forward.
Brian, I saw one comment today about optimism abounding, quote-unquote, ahead of the upcoming trade talks between China and the U.S. Is that a little overstated from what you can tell, optimism abounding?
I think both sides, Andy, want to do something. It's not productive with these two great trade superpowers, as it were, to just continually butt heads. And so I think there is some optimism that's prevalent there. Unbounded optimism would probably be unwarranted because I think they still have to iron some things out. But markets have a way of anticipating that, and that's a recipe for volatility, Andy. I'd remind your listeners, though, if the numbers do come through, if you get a big trade deal, certainly we could see some more volatility, in this case, potentially the upside. But price is unpredictable, Andy. If we get another disappointing meeting next week, might be the last one for calendar year 25, we could wipe out the market gains rather quickly. So again, price changes can happen very fast. So I just encourage your listeners to continue to remain as flexible as possible and defend the downside, but leave the upside open. But no one has the perfect crystal ball, but unbounded optimism, I think, would be a little over the top. But cautious optimism, I think, is warranted because I think both sides want to get something worked out.
If we didn't have this anticipation in the mix, there would not be much to talk about with that shutdown still ongoing.
Other than that, Andy, I would agree that, South America would be our focus. South America, remind your listeners that South American producers are planting first crop corn in Brazil and for early corn in Argentina. And they're planting beans in northern Brazil, working their way south. And so, yes, we'd be talking about South America, but you hit the nail on the head. We wouldn't have any other information to talk about. No export sales reports, no daily export sales announcements, and it's looking more and more doubtful that we'll get a November supply-demand report. So, yes, I think the trade seems to be the front burner now that harvest is wrapping up here.
With all these bushels coming in, corn and soybeans, what are farmers doing with it?
It varies amongst different regions, Andy. I think we are seeing some of that corn and beans being sold across the scales for cash flow reasons. We're also seeing, though, a significant portion going into storage. It just depends on the region and the actual yield results for that particular region. So I think the producers, I'd encourage your listeners, if they are finishing up harvest here, reminder, if you will, that the harvest crop insurance price period ends October 31st. So effectively, there will be no downside price protection from the government on October 31st. By that, I mean is that once you know that you either will or will not get a crop insurance payment, after that point, your market, whether it goes higher or lower, it's up to you. And that's why we strongly encourage producers to get a risk management position in place for their 2025 production by the end of the month. And a preferred position, in our opinion, in my opinion, would be to look at a strategy that puts a floor under market, defends your balance sheet, but leaves the upside open, leaves you flexibility on the upside. And there's several different strategies that could do that. But just a reminder that October 31st will conclude the harvest crop insurance period. And after that, no more protection from crop insurance for 2025.
And shifting gears here, this week with all of the talk of high beef prices, including the Trump administration weighing in on that, and limit down moves in live cattle and feeder cattle on Friday, is it fair to say that market is pretty jittery?
That's an ideal word I would use at this point, Andy. It's a very uncertain environment that cattle producers, whether you're a fat cattle producer, whether you're producing feeder cattle, is facing at the moment. And just use any marketing tools available to you to defend their balance sheet, because we've seen a tremendous run here to all-time highs in calendar year 2025 for live cattle and feeder cattle. And whether or not this has made the high that's already been made, no one knows. But we do know that markets do not like uncertainty, and particularly after this bullish run, markets took a defensive approach on Friday. And as you said, everyone involved is jittery right now. So I would just encourage folks to look at risk management alternatives and implement those strategies.
Commentary there from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Brian, an economist there, and his number is 309-664-2314. Now, final numbers from Friday trade. Everything lower. December corn, 423 and a quarter, down 4 3/4. March down 4 1/4, 437. 3 points off on November beans, 1041 3/4. And January, 1060 1/4, dipping 1 3/4. Fractionally lower on December and March wheat, 512 1/2 for December, down 0.5 cent. Limit down on December live cattle, 233.92, a loss of $7.25, and a very flat hog market. December lean hogs ending up 12 cents at 81.90. That's the Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.